So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending this program of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This just happens to be the final lecture in a series of lectures called The Six Questions by the Sages. This is an amazing event which took place 5,000 years ago in a forest known as Naimasharanya. The age was not always so messed up like it is now, with all kinds of violence and terrorism going on everywhere. Formerly on this planet, it was a very sublime atmosphere where everyone lived peacefully and happily. The weather was nice, there was no tsunamis. I mean, it was a very serene, wonderful atmosphere throughout the entire planet. Because of an event that took place, an age of quarrel and hypocrisy was about to enter. And there was a great assembly of sages who gathered in this forest of Naimasharanya for the purpose of performing a yajna or a sacrifice to hold off the influence of this age, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. They didn't know exactly what to do, but they knew they had to do something. So, there was a sage there, his name was Sutta Goswami. He had attended a very amazing discussion that had taken place on the bank of the sacred river, where Parikshit Maharaj, the king, had heard from another sage named Shukadeva Goswami how to achieve perfection of existence. So it was decided that Sutta Goswami, having just heard that a most amazing dialogue between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami, would then explain to all the sages what was that dialogue. And the understanding was, it was a fact, that dialogue between Parikshit and Shukadeva had so much spiritual power that it could hold back this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So even by repeating it in a different place, in the forest of Naimasharanya, the same effect was there. And even though now we're 5,000 years into this age of Kali, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, by having this discussion here today, we can also push back that age of quarrel and hypocrisy and bring forward an age of a wonderful age of peace, of happiness, of God consciousness, of true loving dealings between the individuals and the Supreme God and between each other. So for this purpose, we are actually studying this amazing, amazing conversation that took place 5,000 years ago in the forest of Naimasharanya, and we are discussing it here because the same power, the same potency comes right now as we're discussing it as was there. That is the power of what is called Shabda Brahma. So I don't know if all of you are familiar with chanting Sanskrit mantras, but we're actually going to take, this is the final lecture in the series, we're going to take the final question, the sixth question, and we will actually go back to the original Sanskrit in which the sages actually asked it to him, in the language they spoke to him. The very language they spoke to him. We will recite the question in Sanskrit and we will study it in English. So, now we will begin. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bruhi
Yoga Ishvare
Krishne
Brahmanye
Dharma Varmani,
Varmani
Svam
Kashtam
Aduna
Upete
Harma Kam Sharanam
Gata
Bruhi Yogeshvare
Krishne
Brahmanye Dharma Varmani Svam kashtam aduno pete
Dharma
kam sharanam gata Bruhi,
please tell
Yoga Ishvare, the Lord of all mystic powers, Krishne, Lord Krishna, Brahmanye, the Absolute Truth,
Dharma,
religion,
Varmani,
protector,
Svam,
own. Kashtam, abode.
Aduna,
nowadays.
Upete,
having gone away.
Dharma,
religion.
Come,
unto whom?
Sharanam,
shelter.
Gata,
gone. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Since Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. Essentially, religion is these described codes enunciated by the personality of Godhead himself. Whenever there is gross misuse or neglect of the principles of religion, the Supreme Lord appears himself to restore religious principles. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Here, the sages of Namisharanya are inquiring about these principles. The reply to this question is given later. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental sound representation of the personality of Godhead, and thus it is the full representation of transcendental knowledge and religious principles. And thus end the Bhaktivedanta reports of the first canto of first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Questions by the Sages. So here we can understand what is in the hearts of these sages. They are feeling great compassion for the people of this age, because they know it is a very difficult age. There's so much anxiety in this age. This age is very full of anxiety. Just to get a place to live and some food to eat, we cause such struggle. Such struggle. To find a suitable marriage partner, to make a happy marriage, that also becomes struggle. So many struggles we go through. Just to have a happy, peaceful life. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. It's a problematic age. So much anxiety. So, the basic problem is we have lost our connection with God. Actually, our happiness is if we can live for the pleasure of God. We exist because God has manifested us for the purpose of having a loving relationship with Him. That's why we exist. If we try to live a godless life and squeeze pleasure out of these material senses, we will find that we are frustrated. Because the very purpose of our existence is to give love to that Supreme One, from whom everything is coming. So this is the basic problem in this age. It is an age of godlessness. And even if we do have God consciousness, how do we approach the Lord? We say, God, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, give me. We approach the God as our order supplier. My dear Lord, here's what I want, now you give me. But this is not the attitude of a devotee of the Lord. One who is devoted to the Lord is thinking not what the Lord can give me, but what I can give to the Lord. So, in this age, they are either atheist or they are approaching God as the order supplier. Both positions are selfish. Everyone is thinking, I am the center of the universe. Everything is for my pleasure. That is the mentality in this age. Selfish mentality. And if there is a God, then he's meant to serve me. I will go to the church, I'll pray, flatter him so he will understand that he's supposed to deliver this to me and deliver that to me. Because the whole principle of this age is selfishness. I'm trying to get the most that I can for myself. You're trying to get the most you can for yourself. Therefore, there's clash. In Sanskrit language, the word is klesha. Sparks are flying here and there. Between husband and wife, between brothers, between sisters, between community members, between nations, between different religious groups. So many sparks are flying. People are cheating one another, they're murdering one another because of all this selfishness, this greed. So the actual principle which will bring peace and tranquility into the hearts of every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet is called, in Sanskrit language, Isha Vashya, the God-centered conception. Whether you call God as Krishna or Christ or Jehovah or Rama or Buddha, that is not the issue, because God has unlimited names. But the point is, God has to be in the center. He's not in the center, and that means I'm trying to put myself in the center, you're trying to put yourself in the center, and sooner or later we are going to fight with one another. Because my self-interest will overlap yours, or yours will overlap mine. If there is a pond of water, and I throw my rock in that pond, some ripples will come out of that rock. A little circle of ripples will come. If you throw your rock, your ripples will come, and then my ripples and your ripples will hit, and there will be conflict. But if each of us throw our rock into exactly the same place in that pond, and the ripples will simply enhance each other. There will be no conflict. So this is the Krishna consciousness movement. We are not a sectarian religious organization. We are teaching the science of how we can all throw our rock in exactly the same spot in that pond. So there can be true peace and happiness between every person on this planet, within the family, within the community, within the nation, and internationally, and between all the species also. Right now we are harassing our poor little brothers and sisters, the animals, and the birds, and the fish. We're grabbing them up and devouring them, putting them in so much anxiety, killing them. When actually we can live much healthier on a wonderful diet, a vegetarian diet of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains. Why should we kill our poor little winged, finned, and four-legged brothers and sisters? It's simply creating a hellish nightmare for our poor little brothers and sisters. So, one who is actually a well-wisher of the living entities within this universe will live a God-centered existence, will live a existence for the benefit of every living entity throughout the entire universe. That is what we are teaching. We are not here to convert you from this religion to that religion. We are simply here to teach you how to actually capture the essence of religion itself. So if you're a Christian, you can be a perfect Christian. If you're a Hindu, you can be a perfect Hindu. If you're a philosopher, you can be a perfect philosopher. If you're a yogi, you can be a perfect yogi. If you're a Christian, you can be a perfect Christian, etc. That we are teaching. And the result is that one will actually derive unlimited happiness, unlimited bliss from doing that. So it's not a matter of blind faith. We are giving you a technique, we are giving you a methodology by which you can reawaken an unlimited ocean of happiness which is right there within your heart right now. If I told you there was a fortune valued at 10 trillion euros in your backyard, and I told you exactly where it was buried, and I gave you the appropriate shovel by which you could dig it up, would you be interested to hear about that? Who here could use 10 trillion euros? Let's see a show of hands. Yes. A few people. I guess the others who didn't raise their hand are already worth 10 trillion euros, so they didn't feel they had a need for another 10 trillion. But for those of you who don't have 10 trillion euros in your bank account, you can understand. That's be an interesting thing. To have 10 trillion euros. I could use that. So, but you actually have a fortune which is worth far more than 10 trillion euros. Seated right there in your heart, and I'm giving you the appropriate shovel by which you can unearth it. And that shovel is called mantra. Mantra means a sound vibration which delivers one from all of the coverings which are preventing you from experiencing that unlimited opulence within your heart. So in this age, of course, there are many mantras. The Vedas are full of thousands and millions of mantras. Just like a drugstore has so many varieties of drugs, both on the counter and also behind the counter on a prescription basis. So when you go to the drugstore, which medicine do you take? Do you just grab anything? Well, I'm sick, so I just go grab a medicine off the shelf. Now, it could make you even more sick. No, you go to the drugstore, or whatever they call it here in Finland, chemist. In India, they call it chemist. You know, the pharmacy. You go there with a prescription from your doctor, and you know exactly what medicine you need. And you take that according to the doctor's order. And by doing that, what happens? You get well. So, in this age, it is especially prescribed. The doctor, known as the Vedic wisdom, has specifically, in fact, the specific Vedic text known as the Kali Santarana Upanishad, has told us that in this age, if you will chant these names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that you can quickly and easily achieve the supreme perfection of existence. So now let us see what the answer was from Sita Goswami. That where do religious principles now reside in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy? And the answer is given by Sita Goswami: Krishna svadhamo pagate dharma jnana dibisaha kalau noshta drishamesha purar narko dunoditaha. This Bhagavad Purana, you may wonder, what is that? That's this book we're reading from. This book is called the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Purana. So, Sutta Goswami is explaining that this book, the Bhagavad Purana, is as brilliant as the sun. You may say, but let's test it. Let's turn off all the lights and see if the room is still lit up by the power of the book. Well, actually, it will be. But we just don't have the eyes to see it right now because we're too covered. Actually, it is as brilliant as the sun. But we just, right now, we don't have the eyes to see its brilliance because we are very much covered by darkness right now. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So this discussion we are having right now, this presentation, is a presentation of the philosophy of this Bhagavad Purana. So the answer is that religious principles have have appeared in the form of the Bhagavatam and discussions on the Bhagavatam. So the point is, this knowledge that we are giving you here in this Krishna consciousness movement is stated 5,000 years ago to be that knowledge which will give everyone who hears it light. This knowledge will enlighten you if you hear it very carefully and try to understand. We guarantee if you will hear very carefully what we're explaining and try sincerely to understand the message, we guarantee that you will become a spiritually enlightened being. You will see the world in a different light. You will be able to see everything in relationship with God at every step. You will no longer be confused. You will no longer be bewildered. You will actually become supremely happy and blissful in all times, all places, and all situations. We guarantee you that. We guarantee that. How can we guarantee? Because we have experienced it ourselves. I have been studying giving discourse on this Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, now for over 30 years. And the more I go on hearing it and discussing it, the more the happiness, the more the peace of mind simply increases, increases, increases. Day by day, week by week, there's just unlimited nectar and happiness to be found in this knowledge. Why? Because it reawakens your eternal identity. Right now, I'm thinking. In our illusion state, we are thinking. I'm male, I'm female, I'm Finnish, I'm Indian, I'm Muslim, I'm Christian, etc. This is called illusion. It is all based on the false bodily conception. We are thinking, I'm this body. But actually, we're not the body. If you think about it, when you were a little child, you can remember things you did when you were a little child. I remember when I was a little child, the first day I decided I'm going to explore the world. My mother wasn't looking and I just walked out the front door. A little tiny boy, and I just went off to explore the world. Of course, my mother was terrified. She was so relieved when I returned. But I just took off. Actually, I was walking down a railroad track. I had no idea that I could get killed by a train. No conception. I just went walking down the railroad track. Little tiny toddler, you know, walking down the railroad track. So I remember that experience. I still vividly remember that day. But the cells, the chemicals that make up my body are different. So all of us remember experiences we had when we were little tiny children. But the cells, the chemicals that you have now are different than those cells and chemicals you had then. So how is that? You see. There is a particle seated within that is called the Atma. That is actually you. You are the Atma. You are the spiritual particle seated as the driver of this body. You see. The heart is actually the driver's seat. So you as the Atma are seated right now in the heart, and through the power of the heart you can, your consciousness is spread throughout your entire body. Even though you are localized within the heart, your consciousness is spread everywhere. You know, you can pinch your finger and feel it. Because your consciousness has been distributed from its, there's a consciousness that's spread throughout the body. So you are that Atma, you are not the body. And at the time of death, just as you are changing bodies in this lifetime, you will continue to change bodies. You went through boyhood, through youth, to old age, and death, and now you get another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. The soul never dies. He has always existed, he will always continue to exist. The only difficulty we have, why we're not completely happy, is we continue to make the mistake of thinking, I'm this body. Or thinking, I'm a woman. We're thinking, I'm a man. We're thinking, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Finnish, I'm English, I'm American. You see, I'm young, I'm middle-aged, I'm old. This is an illusion. You're not an old woman, you see, or a young man, or any of these things. We're none of these things. But the spirit soul is in quality one with God. The Atma, or the spirit soul, is qualitatively one with God, who is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and ever youthful. He is called Nava Yovanam, which means he is always a fresh young man, a fresh youth. He never gets old. He never deteriorates. So that is our actual position. Our birthright is to, our spiritual birthright, our divine birthright, is to taste unlimited happiness at every minute. So if you are not tasting unlimited happiness at every minute of your existence, you, my dear audience, are doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. It's a simple fact. Some people say, well, you got to take the good with the bad. No, you don't. That's a loser's philosophy. You got to take the good with the bad. No, it's not true. A self-realized sage experiences unlimited bliss within his heart at every minute. So if you believe that you have to suffer in order to enjoy, well, you've been misguided by someone who's suffering. That's somebody who doesn't realize how to get free of their suffering has given you some bogus philosophy that you have to suffer too. What do they say? Misery enjoys company. So the fact is, no one has to suffer. Suffering is an artificial state of mind. It's an unnatural state of mind. Today I received an email. Someone said, what do you, in the Krishna conscious movement, what do you do with persons who are mentally ill? So I told him, actually in this world we are all mentally ill. If you think that some people are mentally ill and some are not, that is your mental illness, actually. Because we are all suffering from the mental illness of thinking that we are the center of the universe. Now, we're all mentally ill. Some are more and some are less, but we are all mentally ill. So the enlightened sages of Naimisharanya wanted that nobody in this age should be mentally ill. Therefore, they asked the questions of Sutta Goswami, knowing that he's a fully realized spiritual master, knowing that he could give the knowledge, he could give the potency, he could give the blessings by which everyone on this entire planet could become completely 100% sane, which means completely free from suffering. So Sutta Goswami is the original psychologist. He can solve all of our insanity. If we simply take the answer he gave to these sages very, very seriously, then we can get out of this artificial position of suffering and actually come. Of course, you say, "Oh, I'm not always suffering," but so the artificial position of happiness and distress, back and forth, happiness, distress, happiness, distress, happiness, distress. That's an artificial position. You know what? If you're this happiness and distress in Sanskrit is called sukha dukkha. This happiness and distress means you're not really happy. Because every time you're happy, you're thinking, oh, this won't last very long. The distress will come. It's now the weekend, I'm really going to enjoy. The spring has come, it's coming. On that weekend, I'm going to go out and have a wonderful time on the beach, you know, something like that. But then you have a flat tire, you know, on your car, and then, you know, somebody accidentally spills a beer over you at the beach, you know. And somebody punches you in the face, and you have a wreck on the way home, and you total your car, and, you know. It's like this material world is like that. You think everything's going great, and all of a sudden, whammo, you know. The law of karma gets you again, you know, the past sinful activity. So the real thing is to get beyond this material existence. Even what the nice thing about Krishna consciousness is, you can remain in this material world. If you're a businessman, you can remain a businessman. If you're a politician, you can remain a politician. Whatever your position is, if you're a worker, you can remain a worker. Whatever you're doing, you can maintain that position, but just add Krishna consciousness. Arjuna was a warrior, and he didn't have to give that up. In fact, he wanted to give it up. But Krishna said, no, you go to work, you do your job, but do it for me. So you don't have to move into this temple and become a monk with a shaved head. Whatever you're doing now, you continue doing. If you're a businessman, if you're an artist, you know, whatever you're doing, you continue doing that, but add Krishna consciousness to your life by every day chanting these names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Come here as often as you can, hear the lectures, get the training, how you can turn your home into an ashram, just like this place is an ashram. It's a place of spiritual cultivation. You can turn your house into an ashram, your apartment, your house, so you can live in an atmosphere that is not touched by the material nature. You can live in an atmosphere which is transcendental to the country of Finland, to the city of Helsinki, transcendental to this planet Earth. You can live beyond this material existence, and then you'll no longer be touched by this sukha-dukha, the so-called happiness and distress. You will enter into the real dimension of actual unlimited happiness, prama saukyam vanantam. So, we're very, very happy that you have come today. We are most enlivened to see that so many of you have come today to experience this sublime consciousness known as Krishna consciousness. It's also called, Prabhupada also called it universal consciousness. Whatever name, it can be called Christ consciousness. See, we are not sectarian. But the name Krishna consciousness is especially appropriate because Krishna is the original, it is the most all-inclusive name for the Supreme Truth. Every name for the Supreme Truth includes a certain aspect. It refers to a certain aspect of the Supreme Truth. Whether we say Allah, whether we say Christ, whether we say Jehovah, whether we say Buddha. But the name Krishna is the all-inclusive name that includes all the other names of God within it. Just like recently we were in Turkey, and there was a whole hall full of Muslim people. We explained to them, and they loved this chanting of Hare Krishna. They were in total bliss chanting Hare Krishna mantra with us. So, because even though they are inclined to chant the name of Allah, they found great joy and satisfaction chanting the name of Krishna, because the name of Allah is included with the name of Krishna. All the holy names of God are included with the name Krishna, because that is that's why it is called Mahamantra, the great mantra, the greatest mantra, Mahamantra. So whatever name of God you like to chant, that is very good. Now, try chanting Hare Krishna mantra, if you have not yet tried. And you will feel the same satisfaction multiplied 1,000 times by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Because it comes with the blessings of the great sages as the most powerful mantra for delivering us from all anxiety. So we can ask now if there's any questions. We'll be happy to try to answer your questions.
Give the example of pharmacy or drugstore. Ailment. And then you conclude by saying the Vedic scriptures prescribe the Hare Krishna mantra as the cure.
That's the prescription.
What do you say about the philosophy of people say different shlokas for different folks? You can chant
different shlokas for different folks. Now, I can't remember which Purana that's in. Which Purana is that one coming? Different shlokas for different folks. Which Purana was that? Remember which Purana that was? I don't remember which Purana that was. It's actually not a Vedic mantra. Different shlokas for different folks is not a Vedic mantra. Someone made that up. It's not a bona fide Vedic mantra. Different shlokas for different folks. Om Namo Om. Different shlokas for different folks. No, that's a concoction mantra. Of course, in one sense, someone, if they're more attracted to someone chanting some other name for God, they can do. That's all right. any authorized name for God that they can chant. If they feel inclined, because they're from a Christian background, they'd rather chant the name of Christ, that's okay. Or they want to worship by chanting the name of Buddha, that's okay. Any name given in the scripture for the Supreme Absolute Truth, that is okay. We don't say they have to chant Hare Krishna mantras. If they think Hare Krishna is something Hindu, therefore they won't want anything to do with it, then let them chant Allah. That's all right. Prabhupada went to Tehran, and he very much appreciated how the Muslims are offering the prayers 5 times a day. He very much appreciated the call to prayer by the Muslims. You see. Because this is a universal sign. But if we actually consult the original spiritual knowledge within this universe, we do see that if you want to actually find out what the experts say, then they recommend this is the most powerful mantra. And that's why we chant that one. It's the Hare Krishna mantra. But we never say it's the only mantra. But I can assure anyone who's wondering, well, you know, which mantra should I chant? I can assure them that if they chant Hare Krishna, they will get the most powerful result. But if they're not ready to chant it, all right. They can chant any name of God, that's okay. So in that sense, there is some truth to that different shlokas for different folks mantra. But at the same time, you know, there's different results from different shlokas, different results. Different degrees of result. There's good, there's better, and there's best. So there's different results. There's different results. So if you're ready to try Hare Krishna mantra, we recommend everyone to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Everyone will benefit greatly. Just like there's one Baptist minister. He takes my course on the internet, and he very much appreciates. He doesn't do it publicly; he loses his job. But he loves chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And then he'll give sermons on Christianity. After getting fired up by chanting Hare Krishna, he'll go give a sermon, telling people, preaching our Krishna conscious philosophy in Christian terms. So this is a universal sign. Any other questions? Yeah.
Gurudev, you mentioned that one should not be thinking that God give me this, give me that. But actually, should be thinking that what I can give.
That's right.
So what is it that we can give?
Oh, so she's asked a very, very nice question. I had stated, as she pointed out, that one should not approach God, give me this, give me that. That we should approach God with, what can I give to you? So her question is, okay, what can we give to God? Well, Krishna answers that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Patram putram tadantayam yo me bhakta priyachati tadaham bhakti prahitam mashnami priyatatmanaha. If you will offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water with love and devotion, then I will accept it. So someone may say, well, actually, that's meaningless because everything belongs to God anyway. He's the one who gives the fruit, flower, the leaf, and the water. It's all His, so what's the point of giving Him what belongs to Him? But note in that verse, Krishna says, with love. Krishna actually wants you to give your love to Him. That's what He wants. That's the very reason we exist. Krishna wants to have loving relationships. So He emanates from Himself an unlimited number of living beings to have an unlimited number of loving relationships. And He's given us so much facility. Not only leaf, fruit, flower, water, but He's given us intelligence, He's given us money, He's given us resources, just like this building. This building is being used for Krishna. It's been made into a temple. Lord Krishna. So the idea is whatever assets you have, whatever gifts you have, whatever property, whatever talents, take everything you have and engage it in the service of the Lord for the sake of developing your love for Him. If you serve someone sincerely, then your love for that person will develop. So simply try to sincerely serve the Lord. Try to please Him. By whatever you have, engage it for Him. If you have a tongue, then use it for chanting the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. If you're not deaf, if you can hear, then sit nicely and hear the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita from the mouths of the bona fide devotees of the Lord. You see? If you have eyes, if you're not a blind person, then use your eyes to gaze upon the beautiful form of Sri Sri Gaur-Nitai. If your body functions, if you're not paralyzed, then use that body to render service by serving the prasadam to all the guests, or by eating the prasadam. Whatever you have, use it to in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Krishna says, Yat karoshi, yad asnasi, yad dohosi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi konteya, tat karushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities and penances you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So whatever you're doing, if you're a songwriter, then write songs about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. If you're a painter, then make beautiful paintings of Lord Krishna. If you're a poet, then write poetry for Krishna. If you're a dancer, then dance for Krishna. You see? If you're a cook, then cook sumptuous vegetarian dishes and offer them to Krishna. If you're a people person, if you like to make friends, then spread the message of Krishna through your network of friends. Make all of your friends into devotees. You see? If you're inclined to be a politician, you want to lead the nation, then lead the entire nation of Finland to Krishna consciousness. Whatever, if you're a businessman, you want to make millions and millions of euros, then become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Put Bill Gates out of business. And use that money for spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere throughout the world. So whatever you're inclined to do, do that and offer that to Krishna. And then Krishna will empower you to be more and more happy and successful in that activity. If you like to talk, like I do, then become expert at giving lectures on Krishna consciousness by practice. Whatever you like to do, do that for Krishna. You see, do that for Krishna. And your life will become glorious. Krishna will shower His mercy upon you, and your happiness will know no end. Any other questions? Yes, Avadhuta Chandra Prabhu.
Prabhu, thank you for your class. So I would like to ask, but how can we become free of the tendency to become angry?
This is a very nice question. How to become free from the tendency to become angry? Now, actually, anger is a very bad thing. Because you lose your intelligence when you become angry. You do things you would not have done if you had not lost your temper. So anger is a very important thing to conquer over. Anger can be our downfall. There's even been ghastly murder scenes of someone murdered their own loved one just because they became angry. There was some argument, it got hotter and hotter and hotter, and they killed their loved one. And they regretted it the rest of their life. Their own beloved spouse, they killed them, they murdered them, just because their anger got the best of them, you see. So anger is an enemy. It's one of the gateways to hell. So how to conquer anger? Anger comes because we have unfulfilled desires. That's what brings anger. I want something and I can't have it, and then I get angry. So the way to get over anger is to learn how to purify all your desires so that you get whatever you want. Basically. If you're always getting exactly what you want, then how would you ever get angry? Nothing could ever make you angry. But you're saying with Sankarshan Prabhu, in this world, how is it possible that you can always get whatever you want? I mean, I rarely get what I want. I'm just trying to tolerate it and not get angry. Well, the simple answer is you have to have one desire and one desire only, and that's to please Krishna. You have to give up all your other desires and simply have one desire only, and that's to please Krishna. And Krishna is so magnanimous, he's so sweet, he's so wonderful, he's so unlimitedly loving person that you can factually please him with your every thought, your every word, and your every deed, and every time, every place, and every situation. That's the magnanimity of Lord Sri Krishna. His magnanimousness. Magnanimity, yeah, that's his magnanimity, his greatness, his kindness. So one simply has to have one desire only, and that's to please Krishna. And then whatever may happen to you in any situation, you simply think, how can I act in this situation in such a way that Krishna will be pleased with me? How can I act in this circumstance so that Krishna is happy with me? So that's all you have to do to get over anger. You have to simply desire to always please Krishna. And I guarantee when you do that, you'll never be bothered by anger ever again. Anger will never touch you ever again. You will have a heart which is completely cleansed of lust, anger, and greed. And you'll be the happiest person. Beyond your wildest dreams, you'll experience happiness. So that's the answer. Anger-free. Any other questions? Yes.
Well, Prabhu, life is short, so should we sing Hare Krishna mantra?
What is it? Huh?
The life is short, so should we sing a little Hare Krishna mantra?
Yes, that you can do. There can be more chanting. But I'm seeing if there's any questions, philosophical questions. That is not philosophy. I'm asking for philosophical questions, yeah.
Is it correct understanding that everything that we face in our life, each situation, it is arranged by Krishna, like a lesson to us? Mm.
She's asking this question. Is it a proper understanding to understand that everything we experience is arranged by Krishna? The answer is yes, but we have to explain how, because people won't understand otherwise. Krishna has two energies. He has a spiritual energy and he has a material energy. For a devotee, someone who is purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, everything they're experiencing is directly under the spiritual energy. Krishna is personally arranging it. And it's absolutely sublime at every minute what happens. Now for someone who is someone who's in the middle, who's trying to be a devotee, but is still torn by their material desires, they're being sometimes in the spiritual energy and sometimes the material energy. And for a materialistic person who has no desire to awaken their love of God, they're totally in the material energy. So the material energy is also an arrangement of the Lord to help us become convinced that we don't want to be in the material energy any longer. And that's why we experience so much difficulty here. We get sick, we get old, we die. These things are going on under the influence of the material energy, and they're not pleasant. Who in this room would like to get old? Who would like to volunteer, okay, today I will add 50 years to your life immediately. If you're 30, I'll make you 80. I'll say some mantra and make you 80 years old. Any volunteers like to jump from 30 to 80 immediately? A little child may think, so yeah, I like to become adult immediately because people won't push me around anymore. But anyone else would know. If I want to add 50 years to your life right now, Bhaktantina, would you like that? No. Here I am, a 20-year-old, all of a sudden become a 70-year-old woman? No, no way. Walking around with a cane, trying to get up, struggling to get up the stairs. You wouldn't like to do that. Now you can go with all this youthful energy. So, Old age we don't like, but yeah, we have to get old. We're poor. So these are arrangements of the Lord through the agency of His material energy to convince us that actually, you know, there's got to be something better than this. I'm not satisfied with this. So the suffering conditions, the anxieties we go through in the material world, they are also the mercy of Krishna, indirectly. To convince us, you know, I'm not really happy in this situation. Isn't there something better than this? And then when that happens, then you start to get connected with the spiritual energy. You can come in contact with a devotee or come in contact with a spiritual master, come in contact with the authorized scriptural knowledge like the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, come in contact with Krishna Prasadam, come in contact with the holy names. You start to get, if you're sincerely hankering like that, Krishna will bring you into contact with His spiritual energy. So you can start to realize there's something beyond this material nature. Let me get completely absorbed in the spiritual energy, so I won't be in anxiety anymore. So either way, whether you're in the spiritual energy or the material energy, it's all the arrangement of the Lord, but spiritual energy is the good side. Material energy is the difficult side. It's like they have the universities in Finland, they also have the prisons. Both are government institutions. They're both arranged by the government. So where would you rather be, in the university or the prison? You see? So the material energy is the prison of God's creation. And the spiritual energy is the university. It's meant for elevating the consciousness. Of course, the modern-day universities don't really do that. They're supposed to, but they don't. They actually teach atheism. They actually send the living entity into more illusion. We need to have enlightened universities on this planet. So I think you're formalizing some academy here, isn't it? Yes. So now we're starting a formal academy here for enlightened understanding. So everyone should come here and hear and learn. Come to this academy and hear and learn and become advanced in higher knowledge. We're asking you all to do that. So any other questions? Everyone's wondering when is Prasadam, maybe. So I think Prasadam is about now, yes. So there can be a kirtan after Prasadam or maybe something like that.
Yes.
Okay, well, we thank you all very much. We're so happy you've come tonight. Please take full advantage of this movement and make your life a grand success. Hare Krishna.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if it was the end of the movie.